And that's exactly what I am doing with this podcast. I have gone to the top of the talent pool. This is Richie Phillips, and this is Top Talent. This is my podcast. It is a podcast that originates from Albany, New York, upstate New York area. The whole idea of the podcast was to either feature talent who's come to the area, talent who lives in the area, talent who wants to come back to the area, who's been here before, talent who can't come to the area because of the pandemic, all kinds of talent, not just musical talent, but again, music is my thing, so I love to feature musical talent. And, I got a big one here today. I've got a gentleman who I had the pleasure of meeting back in 2014 when he came on our morning show. In fact, we had him at the radio station for a couple of radio events. I guess he was just really starting out at that point. It was in 2014. His name is John King. No, he didn't bring the magic wall with him. This is not the same John King from CNN. We might not know him as well here on the East Coast. And that's one of the reasons why I really wanted to do this, to try to bring his talent to the fore, as they say. He is an award-winning artist. He's written a number one song. He tours like 150 days a year, at least before the pandemic he did. He won an ASCAP Songwriting Award, and he's not an old guy. Everybody gave him a lot of accolades for that because he's a pusher. He really, really works hard. And he got an ASCAP Songwriting Award, which is a huge thing for the old resume. He's written for Hootie and the Blowfish. He's actually written a song for Randy Houser, or co-written a song for Randy Houser. And this actually is his new song. I'm going to play it right here. This is Trying to Say Goodbye.
And before you know it, it blows up fast. Teardrop falls in a slamming door, and you don't even know what you're fighting for. Hey, nobody said love was easy, and I know it can be kind of hard to swallow your pride. I'm sorry was the hardest word you were ever gonna have to say to her in your whole life. Try saying
And without further ado, I'm not saying goodbye. I'm going to say hello to John King. Hello, John.
Man, I can't believe we finally did it.
It's been what? Been 10 years, I think, since we've been trying to do it.
I know, 10 years, man. Dude, it was great to hear from you. How you been?
Oh, it's great to hear from you. Doing great. How about you?
We're just getting some family time in, man, during the quarantine. And it's been a nice recharging period for me.
Is you got a lot of time to recharge with this thing. Who knows when it's going to be done?
I know.
Awful.
I know, man. We're ready to do some shows. How you guys doing up there?
We're doing good. Cold. We got some snow on the ground. And, not you, though.
Man, it's so funny. You must have brought good luck with you because we don't ever get snow. And today we've got I bet we got 4 or 5 inches almost on the ground here in Tennessee, which is a huge snow for us.
How far do you live outside of Nashville?
We're about 30 minutes south of Nashville, so we've gotten already 2 snows this year. I've had fans up north say that we've gotten more snow than them this year, so I don't know. We're getting lucky. Every time we get snow down here, man, we love it. It's like a holiday for us.
Huh. Now, I have relatives that live in, I think it's Brentwood. Is the name of the town?
Yeah, that's very close. Yeah, we're in Columbia, which is like another 20 minutes or so south of there.
Oh, it's a beautiful area. Oh, my God. Well, this is, we didn't formally start the interview here, but actually, I'm going to use all this.
There you go. Yeah, go for it, man.
You answered 9 of my questions already.
I love it.
All right, I want to start out with something here. I want to start out with a song that it's definitely an earworm. It's one of yours. Let's see if you can hear it.
Can I buy you a drink? Baby, put down your phone. There ain't nothing new on Instagram, so leave it alone. Come be lonely with me.
Oh.
Take a shot in the dark. Baby, let's just let tomorrow be hard. Tonight, let's make it easy.
Such a good song. I heard it the first time. I was like, I couldn't get it out of my head, which is the whole point, right?
Thank you. That's right. That's the point. That was, man, I mean, it always sounds so cliche, but when we wrote that song, the title's easy, and it was really an easy song to write. It would just kind of flowed. The production is kind of more stripped back and a little more bare than the normal thing that I release. And to me, I think fans like that. I mean, it was kind of like right in the middle of quarantine last year to where everybody was really stressed. I was stressed. Our family was stressed. And it was like, let's just put out a song that's laid back and easy to listen to. So that's why we released that one, man. And yeah, to date, it's been one of the, you know, fan favorites for sure.
Oh, love it. In fact, not only is it maybe easy to write, but it was very easy to rewrite. Watch this. Well, his name is John King, and he's really well known. He's not here in person, but he is on my phone. It's going to be really hard trying to say goodbye, because I know that the time's going to fly when he is on my podcast. See, it just flowed easy.
Dude. Oh my gosh, man! You're writing mega hits over there. Man, you need to move down to Nashville.
I'm rewriting. No, I don't write anything. I just rewrite. I read in your
that was great, man.
I read in your bio that you used to do the same thing. That you used to write song parodies about your friends.
Yeah, I mean, I really kind of started just, you know, making up funny songs around the campfire. I mean, I grew up in a tiny little town in Northeast Georgia. There wasn't a whole heck of a lot to do, so. You know, we'd get together on Friday nights and have bonfires and, you know, someone would bring a guitar and we'd all sit around and, you know, by midnight or 1 a.m., I mean, there wasn't a whole lot to do. We'd start making up songs after we'd sung all the Hank Williams Jr. and Lynyrd Skynyrd songs. Right. We'd just start making up our own. And yeah, so, I mean, I would pick out something funny, you know, and kind of just pick on somebody and, you know, poke at them a little bit and we'd all get a laugh out of it or make fun of myself about something. And I was like, man, yeah, it was fun. It was kind of like my intro to songwriting.
Right.
So I always try to, like, you know, keep a little bit of that in our songs. I try to, you know, be true to who I was at the start, and it all kind of started with me just having fun. So yeah, I mean, that was what got me into it.
And that's what I did on the radio all these years is song parodies. And, but I really think that it serves a function. You do learn about music by listening. You really, really listen to other people's music when you do stuff like that, right? I mean, the structure and everything.
Yeah, I mean, parody really forces you to kind of dissect the song lyrically and melodically in every way. And once I got tired of, you know, making up funny songs, I thought, well, you know, now I can, like, actually write songs about, you know, deeper stuff in life. And the more comfortable you get as a songwriter, you know, you can kind of open up and open your world up as an artist and let the fans know who you are. But it's definitely easier to start with the funny stuff, you know.
Sure. Now, are you a strict person as far as writing? Do you force yourself to get up at, you know, X time during the day and sit down and write? Or do you just wait until it comes to you?
It depends, man. I mean, you know, we do a lot of co-writing here in Nashville. And so it can become like almost like a 9-to-5. You get up, you go in and write a song. Obviously with everything going on over the past year, we've done it all virtually. So
right.
It's been like, you know, a lot of Zoom sessions and stuff, which has been kind of fun because it's, you know, we can do it remotely anywhere and we've gotten out and, you know, done some camping. We've traveled and seen family and like really kind of gotten to, you know, get back to our roots a little bit and be able to write songs. So it's kind of helped me like reconnect as a writer too. But yeah, I mean, I honestly, like, I like a regimented schedule of like, all right, we're going to ride at 10 a.m. And let's see what we get up until 3 or 4 p.m. And then, you know, if we get something great, if not, we'll just keep kind of whittling at it. But then sometimes it just hits you randomly. Like the other night, I had an idea waking up in the middle of the night and I got up and I wrote a chorus. So it's kind of just like, it is like a inspiration is like just kind of moving all the time. So
sure.
you got to harness it when you can, you know?
I mean, the pandemic, you can look at it two ways. You can either get extremely lazy and completely forget about your career, or you can use it, if you're a creative person, to really write every day. And, like, look at Paul McCartney. He did a whole album, right?
I know. Yeah. I mean, you know, to me, it was definitely an inspirational period. I mean, you know, when you're around family as much as I was, you know, I got to really see my baby girl grow up, you know, over a whole year span, which – if I was on the road and touring, you know, I wouldn't have gotten to have as much time with her and my wife. And
sure.
So it gave me a lot of inspiration. It made me want to write and really kind of draw from my personal experience. And yeah, this song we're going to put out more music than we, or this year we're going to put out more music than we've ever put out. And I think that's just because we, we're able to kind of, I guess, reload the tank a little bit in 2020, you know?
Yeah. And looking at your bio now, you're allowed to brag here. I read that you wrote a number one song, right?
Yeah. Yeah, man. It was a really cool thing. Randy Houser, who I'm sure you know, is one of the best singer-songwriters in country music, just amazing voice. I was actually a fan of his growing up. It's kind of a full circle story, but I mean, it was funny. I moved to town back in, I guess when I first came to town, I think it was, I just graduated. It was 2013, maybe right at the beginning of 14, right before I saw you guys on radio tour.
Yep.
So, I mean, when I moved to town, I didn't know anybody. I was fresh off the boat. I mean, I was like, Georgia, hillbilly dude in town, like don't know a soul, crashing on a Craigslist couch for like $100 a month.
Wow.
It was like, but I mean, it was also exciting because I'd never been to the big city. I didn't know anything about it. So I was riding a ton. I was working during the day and then I'd get out at night and do these rider rounds, where people, go sit in a circle, play songs, original music. And, some of them are good. Most of them aren't, I mean, you're in town, you're learning, but you make connections and it was a really good networking opportunity. But I had this regular gig on Wednesday night at this club called Puckett's, which is right downtown Nashville, actually directly across from the Ryman, which is, some inspiration for you when you're sitting there looking out the window at, the mother church of country music. So I was playing this gig on Wednesday nights. It was a 3-hour gig and I would pass the tip bucket around. And that's kind of what I was living off of. And one night I was playing and it was late into the set. I was, it was probably 10:30 or so on a Wednesday night and it wasn't a whole lot of people, school night, work night. So I was like, man, nobody's really looking. I'm just going to throw in like a original that I just wrote and see what happens, just kind of wing it. And there's this guy sitting back at the bar. I could really tell he was into the whole show and he was sitting there drinking his drink and he was really paying attention. So I get halfway through the song. He gets up, walks up to the tip bucket and drops $100 bill in the bucket. And as he gets closer, which was cool enough. I mean, I was like, yeah, I probably had $20 and ones, at that time. And I was like, man, this is great. I can eat for the whole week off this, off this tip.
Right.
And this guy, man, when he gets up, I was like, man, he looks familiar. And the light kind of hit his face just right as he walked up to the stage and it was Randy House.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Didn't know him. Didn't know anybody in town. I knew of him and, was a huge fan of his music. He'd already had several radio hits by that point. And, but I was in the middle of a song, so he drops a tip in the bucket and he walks out the door. I can't stop and be like, man, take my demo and show it to your record label,
Right.
So, it was a good story, to tell my buddies and that was about it. Well, fast forward, about a year into town, I signed a publishing deal. I got a record deal and, starting to get a little bit of a buzz around town and, starting to kind of develop a name for myself. And I was writing a song one day with a couple guys, Justin Wilson, Matt Rogers, who are still great songwriter buddies of mine and have gone on to have a lot of hits. And we've had some stuff together over the years, but at the time we were just starting out writing and we get in this room, three guitars, just kind of awkwardly bang out this song. That's like, just weird, janky chord progressions. Like almost had like a old Western, like gallopy feel to it.
Right.
Didn't really have a hook or a title. And we wrote this song in like 25, 30 minutes, like fastest I've ever written a song in my life. It's almost like a dream. Like, did we just write something or is this just like nothing? Just a bunch of, mumble jumble, nothing. And, we get done, we end up demoing the song. And when we got a cleaned up demo, I was like, man, this actually feels really good. And I knew it wasn't for me. It just had such a unique feel. I was like, I don't know what artist I could pull this off. And then one of the publishers was like, I think we need to pitch this to Randy Houser. I was like, yes, like that would be awesome. So we did, by some miracle, he ends up hearing it out of the millions of songs that get written in Nashville.
Yeah.
You go through just these massive catalogs of songs when you're looking, to put together a record as an artist. And he somehow heard ours and he liked it enough to put it out and actually put it out as his first single off that record. And yeah, it was a number one. So it was definitely a full circle moment, man. And what the funniest part of the whole story is when we had the number one party, It was right next door at Tootsie's, to where I used to play those cover shows. Tootsie's on downtown, which is like a legendary bar.
Sure.
And, a lot of great acts have kind of come up there. And we're standing on the stage getting our number one, you know, award at this ceremony. All my family's there, you know, had driven up from Georgia, and Randy's backstage. We're backstage, all the songwriters. And I'm telling him that story I just told you about, you know, playing that show and him dropping a tip in the bucket. And, you know, I'm like, man, I'm a little emotional. I'm like, this is a big step, you know, as a new artist, new songwriter in town, first number one. I mean, it's something to be proud of. And I was like, man, I just really appreciate you, you know, taking time to do that for a young artist like me. And he was like, are you sure that it was $100? And I was like, yeah, I'm positive. He was like, man, he's like, I must've had too much whiskey that night. I'm sure it was supposed to be a 10.
Uh-oh.
I think he was kidding, but you know, yeah. Heck, you know, it was a good time.
That's amazing. Well, just luck. But, well, it's more than, no, I shouldn't say it's luck. You know how many people are playing in Nashville every single night? I mean, for you to stick out like that's got to be an amazing talent.
You know? Well, I don't know, man. It's just, you know, my whole philosophy has been, you know, I always have loved that saying, you know, the more I do, you know, the luckier I get. And I've just kind of whittled it down to kind of find who I am as an artist, who I am as a songwriter, and what I want to say and how I want to say it. It's taken time, man. It's, you know, we played hundreds of shows a year for the past, you know, decade up until, you know, this year, you know, really the first year I've had off, in my adult life. And, it's a grind that, you know, as you know, being an artist, being a songwriter, it's just like the more you do, the better you get. So, I mean, that's always been my outlook. I know there's people out there that are a lot more talented than me, but, you know, you just got to have that work ethic. That's what's helped me.
We'll be back to our interview with John King in 1 second. I'd like to tell you about something that I'm doing on Facebook once in a while. It's kind of a sporadic thing. I call it Facebook Live Piano Bar. It's live piano bar where you get to request songs. I'll throw in some song parodies, do some, like I said, online requests. It happens, like I said, right here on Facebook. If you would like to know when the next one is, I started a Facebook group. I'm calling it Richie's Facebook Live Piano Barflies, and I will put a link to that right on my Facebook page. If you'd like to join that group, then just click on the link, sign up for it, and then you will be notified the next time I do one of these crazy piano bars. I've had such a good time with it, and the response seems to be good, and it keeps me out of trouble and off the streets and out of my wife's hair. I'd love you to be part of it, and hope you will. And now back to my interview with John King on
Top Talent.
Well, I did see a quote about you. It was on Apple Music, and it said, and you're being way too modest, it said, his drive, paired with his raw talent, but also paired with his business savvy, took this, quote, young man out of this little mountain town in Georgia. So there's got to be more to it. I mean, you had the business savvy. I mean, for you to go from playing in that bar and getting the $100 tip to getting a publishing deal with Reba's company, right?
Yeah. It's been,
how'd you make that jump?
Yeah.
I know we haven't told that story. I mean, how did that happen?
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah. That's a pretty cool story, man. I mean, I was looking for management, you know, I was looking for, a team to jump on board and kind of, you know, you need somebody to steer the ship when you're an artist, and you're touring and you kind of, you can't see all the angles that are coming. You know, I mean, I went to music business school. I studied, you know, business in college. And so, you know, my degree has really helped me, in a lot of ways, but, when you get to a certain level, you really need somebody who knows what they're doing, has been through the ringer. And, I got approached by, a friend of mine who was working at Starstruck actually just as an intern. And they were like, man, you know, I think, Narvel Blackstock, who is the, you know, the head guy over there, he managed Reba for decades. He's managed Blake Shelton now for many years. And, Kelly Clarkson, so, you know, one of the best in the business.
And, sure.
A great company, you know, just a great team of people. Well, my friend over there was like, I think they're looking to, you know, bring on some new artists. And so I was like, well, dang, I mean, I really need management, you know. And so I just kind of ended up dropping a demo over there and hoping that it would get over to Narvel. I had, you know, 5 or 6 songs that I'd written and, you know, was really proud of, had some, like, you know, nice masters of them, you know, done up in town. And I dropped them off and he ended up hearing them and really liked it. So we did a showcase for him. you know, full band there in Nashville, and had the whole company come over and check it out, and they really liked it. So, yeah, we ended up signing on with him, and I've been with him now for about 4 years, and it's been a game changer, man. When you have somebody like that who, you know, has not only the credibility in this business, but just the knowledge of knowing, you know, here's what we need to do, here's how we need to do it. It's really, it really is helpful for an artist.
And how many artists, I mean, you read the stories of artists in the very beginning who signed their publishing away and signed their rights away and got ripped off. And, well, you know, and it, nothing of this happened to you, which is great, which shows that you were really careful in who you picked.
Man, when I first moved to town, I've dodged some bullets, because when I first moved to town, I had some deals come my way. You know, I didn't have a publishing deal. I was just getting my feet wet, and, you know, had a couple of publishers come my way who, you know, I mean, not going to throw any shade at them, but, you know, we're looking to, you know, sign a cheap deal and get an artist for a good price and own some publishing rights. And I was fortunate enough and had enough, you know, business knowledge from going to school to keep me from those deals. I always joke with my mom. I was like, I didn't want to go to college, but if nothing else, going just to save from signing bad deals was worth it. So I always thank her for that.
Yeah. So when I read that you went to college, I thought that you went for music. You went for music business. So you really weren't taking music classes. I mean, like composition classes or anything like that, right?
I took some, you know, they require you to take some music theory and, you know, history of music and things like that. And, you know, I took some guitar classes and things like that. But yeah, the major parts of the curriculum were focused around the business side. So, you know, entertainment, you know, law, and you're talking like publishing. And I mean, publishing is, as you know, is like a whole animal of itself with some crazy mathematics that go on. So but it was great, man. I mean, it really helped me figure out kind of what, you know, at least give me a little taste of what was to come. I mean, it was, I've always loved the business side of it, and I've always appreciated artists who, are great at the business side of it. I think of artists like Kenny Chesney, Garth, yep. Shania, like they're branding experts. They know their brand so well,
exactly,
and are so involved in every aspect of it. And so to me, those are always the artists I looked up to. I feel like they always had a better compass of what they wanted to do and say.
That's what I was going to ask you about, was Garth, because I also read that Garth was a huge influence on you. But even Garth, I mean, I just saw a special recently about him, and he said when he came to Nashville, he bombed out the first time he drove home. Even Garth Brooks didn't make it in the beginning, and you did. I mean, amazing.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, Garth is just, there's just something about him, man. I mean, you know, see him on stage, he's got so much charisma, and
amazing.
He loves his fans so much. I mean, he loves his fans just, and you can tell it's genuine. I had the pleasure of meeting him on the ACM red carpet, probably my first ACMs 5 or 6 years ago now. And he was just such a nice guy. I was standing next to him and Trisha, and Trisha was doing an interview. He was just kind of standing behind her quietly, minding his own business, just on the red carpet, you know, Garth Brooks. And I didn't want to bug him. I didn't want to be that guy, like the fangirl, you know, and like, oh my gosh, I'm such a big fan. So I tried to play it cool and was standing there waiting for my turn, you know, next in line to go up to the, you know, the next media outlet. And Garth just kind of turned to me and said, "Hey man, what's your name?" I was like, "You know, I'm John King. I'm a new artist." And I mean, we probably talked for 5 minutes there on the red carpet. And I'm thinking, this guy's got 105 million people to talk to tonight, and he's standing here taking the time to care enough to talk to me, and was just the sweetest guy ever. And so, yeah, I mean, they say don't meet your heroes, but, you know, in that case, it was above and beyond what I ever would have expected.
Well, I'm going to throw it back at you. This is one of my notes, because being on the air, we were there for 30 years, and I met a lot of people. I mean, we had so many people. I went to the Country Music Hall of Fame once and looked up. There was one room where they had all the country artists, like, plastered all over the walls. And I was looking. I didn't want to tell my relatives because it sounds like I was name-dropping. I think I've personally, or in some way, we met every one of those people in the 30 years. It was incredible. But there's certain people that stood out to me. You know, they come to town like you did. They come and visit our show. And there's like four people that I wrote down that I'll never forget. Number one, Kenny Rogers was the nicest.
Oh
my God. He sat with us, you know, even when he was off the air, he sat with us and talked. And oh man, I sang with him. And oh, it was just
awesome.
Unbelievable throw. Another guy, Phil Vassar. he wanted to stay all day. I mean, he was incredible. He sat and played Piano Man with me. He came to town here. He had me on stage accompanying him at one of our events. Oh, just the nicest guy. Randy Owen from Alabama was really, really nice. Mm-hmm. And the fourth guy is you. And this is in no particular order, but this is the reason why.
I do not belong.
No, yes, you do.
I don't belong on that list, Rick.
No, yes, you do. You came on. You were really, really incredible. I even saved some of the audio, like this thing that you did. Everybody knows tonight, 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 tonight is gone. Yeah. This is him singing live.
That's the OG right there.
Yeah. You let me play piano with you?
Oh, dude, you're great. Well, shoot, I need a piano player.
Hey. Hey, I'm retired. I got all kinds of time.
That's awesome, man. Dude, that's a really nice compliment, man, to even be mentioned. I mean, all those guys are legends. I mean, and Hall of Famers, you know. I mean, country music Hall of Famers, you know, if they aren't already, they will be. So that's a really big compliment, man.
Well, it's something that, like your parents would say, it's first impressions that are very important, but it really is true. It was your first impression. You know, you were really easy to get along with. This is something else that you did. I actually took your song again and rewrote it for like a morning show jingle, and you recorded it. This is what you did.
Everybody knows this morning, this morning, this morning, this morning is going to be the best show of our lives.
And we used that for a long time. That was really so good.
The alliteration's not quite there with this morning, but hey, it still works.
Now, you got some play from that song. Didn't they use that in the football world?
They did, man. Yeah, my dad called me. I was about to go on stage in Atlanta, Georgia. My dad calls me on a Thursday night and says, John, your song is on the Falcons-Packers game right now as the, you know, kind of teaser highlight song. I was like, you're kidding me. Like, that's not possible. We didn't know, you know.
You didn't know?
My publishing company found out later on. They had been asked the day of to get clearance, and it was such a last-minute thing that they were like, yeah. And so, of course, my answer was yes.
So,
it was like, yeah, it was a surprise. Oh, but it was, man, it was cool. I mean, as a, you know, growing up as a massive football fan, it was, talk about bucket list goal.
I was wondering about that. Like, if you sold a song to Garth, let's say Garth recorded Easy, it's not a normal thing, like, for the artist to call you and go, hey, thanks a lot. Sometimes they just use it and you get paid and that's it. I mean, is that the way it normally
is? I mean, usually publishers will kind of work that out on their end, you know, get the clearances. But, yeah, I mean, normally the artist in most, you know, genres doesn't necessarily reach out to the songwriter or, you know, ask permission or say thanks or anything like that. But, you know, country music is a great genre just because it's such a camaraderie. I mean, it's a community of people that really do pull for each other. And every song I've ever had recorded by other artists, I mean, you know, you're getting notes, you'll get a call, a text. So it's always been, in my experience, really awesome, you know, like with Randy and having number one parties and them showing up and being really grateful.
That's great. You've also written for Hootie and the Blowfish?
Oh, yeah, man, that was fun.
Really?
Yeah.
So for
that
him.
Was really fun, man. Yeah, I grew up on, you know, a huge Hootie and the Blowfish fan. My mom and dad, you know, were kind of, you know, into them big time when they came out in the 90s. And I remember one of my first concerts was Hootie and the Blowfish in Greenville, South Carolina. So this is when they would, you know, had Hold My Hand and Let Her Cry and all these, you know, classics that they had. So when I got this call, I'm driving into Riot. This is just like a Tuesday morning, normal, you know, heading in at 9 a.m. to write a song. Get a call from my publisher over at Sony, and they say, hey, we just got a call. Hootie and the Blowfish are in town. They've got a new record that they're writing for, which I had no idea. That excited me enough. I was like, man, I hadn't heard, you know, Hootie and the Blowfish, a new record in a decade or more. And
yeah.
They were like, how would you like to come in and write with the band today? And of course, my answer is yes. Yes, yes, yes.
No, I'm busy. Sorry.
So, you know, I rescheduled the thing I had that day and drove straight to the studio. And they were there. I mean, it was actually like kind of a freaky thing to roll up to 30 minutes, you know, have 30 minutes of notice of riding with these guys you've looked up to your whole life. But they were great. They were so nice, just humble, those names you mentioned, you know, just above and beyond, make you feel like you're, you know, part of the family. And so I walked in, I had this little melody I was humming on the drive over there. Didn't think much of it, but I was like, man, I didn't have a whole lot of time to prepare. You know, this is kind of what I got. And it was called Rolling. And we ended up writing a song. It was just very, like, soulful R&B, just fun. And they were looking for a song like that to jam on, you know, for the record, and that would feel good live. And it ended up working. It was kind of just right place, right time, you know. I mean, that was a God one right there. I did not see that coming. And they ended up putting it out as their lead single on their record that just came out about a year and a half back now. So it was cool, man, to have the first song they've released, you know, in 15 years.
But Darius Rucker, he's still Hootie in the band at that point? Or is there another Hootie?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. No, they reformed. They kind of just, you know, had a reunion tour, went out, released a record. So it was cool, man. I mean, yeah, it was really cool.
Wow. And could you foresee Darius Rucker making it as big as he has in country? I mean, he's been huge.
Yeah. I mean, dude, he's got a great voice. And,
he's great.
You know, growing up in South Carolina, I know he is a huge fan of country and grew up loving the genre and appreciating great songwriting. So, yeah, I mean, he's been so great as a solo artist, and he's just a really great guy, too. So, yeah, it's really cool, unique voice.
That's right. We met him, too. I got to add him to the list. He's number five. Darius Rucker. Nice guys. Yeah, I remember when he came. I actually looked up all the country artists who were born or raised in Georgia. I mean, Georgia has produced some incredible artists. Just the A's and the B's. You got Red Akins. You got Lauren Alana. Jason Aldean. That's just the A's, right? Then you got the B's. You got Kane Brown. T. Graham Brown. I don't know if you remember him. He's great.
Oh, yeah.
Zach.
Heller Highwater, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Zach Brown, right? Luke Bryan, that's just the A's and the B's. Yeah,
nah, man, yeah, it's like a dynasty to be a part of. I mean, it really is it's its own scene, you know. It's like Texas. I don't know. I wrote a song my first move to town called "Something in the Water," and it was for that reason. When I walked into my first co-write, the co-writers, you know, we were all kind of talking and getting to know each other, and they asked me where I'm from. I said Georgia. And one of the co-writers looked at me and said, man, there's something in the water down there. Like, there's so many people from Georgia.
Yeah,
and I was like, well, that's the song we're going to write, first of all. And number two, yes. I don't know why, but it is, man. There's a music scene there. I think it's because there's so many places, so many great places to play. I mean, Athens, you know, I went to University of Georgia. Athens is a killer music town. It's kind of like a mini Austin. You know, it's got great clubs, really awesome theaters, and you can kind of build a following and a name for yourself. There's cool, you know, there's mom and pop radio stations that will play, you know, new artists and new music and break, you know, artists regionally. So it's like, yeah, it's own little scene. And for me, it was cool to be a part of that.
And not to bring the party down here, but that's one of the major negative things about the pandemic. They say there's, what, like 10,000 restaurants and bars that won't reopen. They're going to close.
Oh, I know.
And Nashville's been basically devastated. You were telling me, right? Between that and the bomb that went off?
Yeah.
So what's going on down
there
now?
It's been a tough year. It's been a tough year, man. Yeah, I mean, you know, between, you know, we had the tornado kind of the kickoff last year, and that was right before everything went on lockdown. And then, yeah, Christmas morning, I mean, you have a bombing. Luckily, nobody was killed. And, you know, the police officers, you know, thank God for, you know, those awesome heroes like that that were there to clear and evacuate. But, yeah, it's been a tough year, man. I mean, you know, I know that Nashville is a tourist, you know, community, and they run on, you know, bar sales and restaurant sales and tourism. So, you know, not having that's been really hard for, you know, a lot of my friends and people I know in town that run places. And so, yeah, we're hoping things get back to normal soon, man, because it's sad. I mean, it's such a great city and a great place to visit.
And for artists, I mean, that's your training ground, is to play and to play at 2 o'clock in the morning. You have to go through that. Right? I mean, you had to go through that bar that you played. I mean, look what happened to you by playing in the bar, the exposure, but also the experience of playing in front of a crowd. I mean, you're not going to get that from a Zoom call. I mean, Zoom has been fantastic, but there really is a limitation to what Zoom offers to people, right?
Really is, man. Yeah, it's been it's been a weird time, but we're excited, man, to get back on the road. And,
yeah.
You know, making lemonade out of lemons. I mean, it's been some good family time. And,
true.
We've gotten to focus in on the music and really hone in on these songs. So it'll be fun to get music out. And, you know, I think that's all we can do right now is just, you know, enjoy the people that are around us, you know, stay safe and healthy and just keep, you know, looking forward to that brighter future ahead, you know.
That's a good attitude. How's your wife dealing with this? Was she in the music business at all?
No, my wife is a teacher. I mean, she,
wow.
She actually, yeah, we had a baby girl 2 years ago. We got a 2-year-old. So she was a teacher up to then. And then she got to stay home with the baby. So she's been home, you know, with Scarlett now for 2 years. And so we've really just been together. It's been really fun. We've done a lot of camping. We've got out. I used to, you know, do a ton of camping when I was a kid. And so this year I've gotten to take them out and explore, you know, and we've got to take our, you know, the grandparents with us and do some stuff with them. So it's been kind of cool to have a year to just enjoy them for me. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Do you think she'll go back to teaching?
Yeah, I think so one day. I mean, she really does miss it, but, you know, right now it's tough.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of virtual learning down here, you know, as I know it is up there, I'm sure,
right.
as well.
Yep.
It's tough for teachers. I mean, it's just hard for everybody right now, man. You know, my hat is just completely off to those essential workers, you know, the EMTs, the firefighters, the police officers, the teachers, the grocery store workers, like people who have to go out there every day and put themselves at risk and,
Right.
you know, to make a living. It's just, man, that's the real heroes. And those are the people that keep this country running, you know?
Absolutely. When you see with Time Magazine, I mean, not to get political, but I don't care what politician they put on the front cover. They should have put the teachers on there. They should have had a picture of a teacher, a hospital worker, a blank, blah, 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 you know, that's what they should have done.
Yeah, you're right.
Yep.
Yeah. I think everybody can agree with that, Richie.
Absolutely. And finally, I see that you're really good with social media. I see you on there all the time.
It's like become another part of being an artist, just like songwriting, just like touring, you know, just like, anything. It's like the third aspect that you need, social media. And it wasn't like that when I first started off, you know, when I was a kid. Social media was just kind of, you know, starting to come around. But over the last decade, it's really become, I think, for the better, it's become a part of an artist. And I think it's great because it really connects you with your fans. It's just another, you know, tool to connect. And I look at artists, I'm like, if Garth Brooks had Instagram and TikTok and stuff when he was coming out, he would be the best in the world at those things because they're a way to connect with fans.
Right.
Well, to me, it's a positive and I like it. You know, it's time consuming and, but it's fun to connect with people that you wouldn't have otherwise gotten to meet.
And right now it's a lifeline, right? I mean, it's the major way to connect. In fact, another
really
amazing statistic with you, Trying to Say Goodbye, got 18 million streams.
Yeah.
18 million streams. And you were on 30
crazy.
Major market radio. But I noticed they put
crazy,
the 18
man.
Million streams before the 30 major market radio stations. It shows you, you know, where the importance is.
They're both important. You know, you need them both. But, I mean, it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, radio is important, you know, social media is important, streaming is important. There's it's kind of diversified, I think, in the artist world to being a lot of different things that kind of culminate to help an artist. And to me, it's like you have a totally different audience streaming, you know, than you do on radio. And it's great. You need all those people, you know, they're all your fans. So it's a cool time. I mean, it's like a little bit. Sometimes it feels like the Wild West because things are changing so quick and growing and evolving, but it's exciting.
I noticed that you really haven't, well, even before the pandemic, you never came to town. I was so upset. You've never done a concert in Albany. I know we talked about this online a little bit, but do you ever foresee you making an upstate New York tour?
Yeah.
I mean, we'd love to have you up
here.
Yeah,
man, I love New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to. We did some shows, you know, out before the pandemic, back in 2019 in Long Island and NYC and those locations. But yeah, we need to get out your way, man. We need to get out to Albany. It's been way too long. So we'll try to do that, you know, in the next year or so for sure.
Our arena was on the news recently, how they're going to try to, you know, try to open up, and they're making plans for next year. So we would love to have you back on
here.
And what's the name of your new album and new single and places where people can look for your stuff?
Yeah, I've got a new single coming out beginning of the year here, probably going to be in the next few weeks, actually, depending depending on when you're airing. But it's called Your Man, and you can go check it out. Go to johnkingcountry.com. It's all the streaming platforms will have it available, and you can download it straight from the website as well. And then toward the end of the year, we're planning to put out an album, so it'll be up there as well. So I'm excited about it, man. A lot of new music coming this year.
Can't wait to hear it. Can't wait to hear it. And by the way, John King, folks, this is not the guy with the magic wall on CNN. This is a different John King.
we get mixed up a lot. I'm not good at reporting political news. So yeah, not me.
Well, John, it's been really a pleasure, and thank God we finally got this together. I was just waiting to have you on.
I know, man. It's so great to hear from you. I hope y'all have a good year, and hopefully things get back to normal soon. We can get up that way and see you.
Definitely.
You're the best, dude. Holler if you need anything. I really appreciate you having me.
Okay, John. Thank you so much. There he goes, John King. What a great guy, I'll tell you. And this quote, again, I got to read it again. It was his drive paired with raw talent and business savvy that took this young man from a little mountain town in Georgia and brought him right to the forefront, and just shows you. You can have all the talent you want, but you've got to have the drive. You got to love it. You could tell he loves it. I've always loved what I've done. You've got to have business savvy, otherwise somebody will take you to the cleaners. So, but pursue your talent. Go out there. Give it a try. You never know. And I always end with a famous quote.
The top talent quote.
I love this quote. If you wrote something for which someone sent you a check, if you cashed that check and it didn't bounce, and if you then paid the light bill with the money, I consider you talented. Who said it? Stephen King. Join me next time on
Top Talent.
Thanks for listening, and please subscribe and leave a comment. He reads them in bed. It makes him very happy.